A family had twin boys whose only resemblance to each other was their looks. If one felt it was too hot, the other felt it was too cold. If one said the TV was too loud, the other claimed the volume needed to be turned up. Opposite in every way. One was an eternal optimist, the other a doom and gloom pessimist. Just to see what would happen on the twins' birthday, their father loaded the pessimist's room with every imaginable toy and game. The optimist's room he loaded with horse manure. That night, the father passed by the pessimist's room and found him sitting amid his new gifts, crying bitterly. "Why are you crying?" the father asked. "Because my friends will be jealous. I'll have to read all these instructions before I can do anything with this stuff. I'll constantly need batteries, and my toys will eventually get broken." Passing the optimist twin's room, the father found him dancing for joy in the pile of manure. "What are you so happy about?" he asked. To which the optimist twin replied, "There's got to be a pony around here somewhere." I want you to go with me on a journey. You see, Paul was nearing the end of his third missionary outing. He had circled the Roman Empire a couple of times, but he had never been to Rome. So he got the idea stuck in his head. He had already spoken to his usual ministry funders, and now he was writing to the fledgling church in Rome to ask them to send money so he could come to them. Many scholars believe the church only existed there because of the way Paul's teachings had spread there all on their own from the people Paul had converted earlier. So Paul reaching out to the people in Rome was not a completely crazy idea. Paul had what I like to call a little seed of hope. I suspect he knew that if he felt this strongly about going to Rome, then he must be feeling a call from God. But often with God, we are reminded that not everything falls into line with our own idea of what we should be doing. So when we take that leap of faith, all we have to rely on is the hope that God will take us to better horizons. Last time I was up here, I spoke about taking that leap of faith and answering the call that God has on your life. So now I want us to explore what could happen if we lean into that hope that is so innate in us, and yes, in all of us, even the most realistic and or pessimistic members around us. Let us pray. Gracious God, open our minds and our hearts to your movement in and all around us. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. It is in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hope is one of the most powerful things in the world. There are countless scriptures about the hope of God. God used hope to help the Israelites leave Egypt. And Jesus used hope to motivate and feed thousands of people on the side of a hill one day. And the Holy Spirit moves nations with the power of hope to cause the greatest revivals we could ever imagine. For instance, our scripture today, as well as a few others, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God." And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Paul goes on to write, "For in hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. And my blessing to you is may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." See, hope is a small seed of something more powerful and world-changing than we could begin to fathom. Have you ever felt that kind of hope? That small feeling in you that said that something impossible may actually be possible? As many of you know, my father ran a wood carving business my whole life. I grew up traveling with carnivals and fairs all over the country selling custom wood products. And one day we were running extremely low on wood to make our crafts. And my dad simply said, "We will figure it out." We proceeded to have one of our highest selling days. Every time my brother or I went to the back where we kept the wood, what we needed was there. There was no explanation for how we had enough when we should not have been able to sell everything we gave out that day. My father reminded us that he always has hope that God will provide. Hope does not always make sense. It is like when you meet someone and you just know you were always supposed to know them. I felt that way the first time I came to Life Journey. I had met Jeff at a conference in Florida. He convinced me to come for a visit. And if you knew me back then, you'd know that's really improbable. The moment I walked in and took my tour of our beautiful building, I just knew this is where I was supposed to be. I knew in that moment something that I could not have known at that point. I leaned into the hope that this place would take me into the call that God was giving me. And now, 4 years later, I am gladder that I followed that glimmer of hope here than I am almost anything else I've done with my life. Because of leaning into that hope, I had the opportunity to come here and have my wonderful daughter. In a few weeks, I will graduate from seminary with my Master of Divinity, and the next day, on May 6th, right here at Life Journey, and hopefully with all of you present, I will be ordained into ministry. I believe, with everything that I am, that each and every one of you have joined me on this journey over the last 4 years. I could not have done it without you. You have given me strength and wisdom. You have shown me grace and encouragement. And most importantly, you have given me hope for the next step to come. You have shown me that hope in a community like this means loving each other, even when it's not fun or easy. Thank you. In the 60s, Reverend Troy Perry started our denomination, the Metropolitan Community Churches. Because he had hope that God loved queer people and wanted everyone to have a place at the table. Turns out, Reverend Perry was correct. Amen. Thank God. See, God does love all people and wants everyone to know there is room for them at the table. And now, almost 50 years later, we are the product of that hope. And the table just keeps getting bigger. Look at us! Not just queer people, but all kinds of people. different. Sitting around the table together. Something really small and looked a little crazy turned into something miraculous. A man I admire a great deal named Reverend Alan Bosack was a renowned anti-apartheid activist in South Africa who was put in prison for his faith and activism. And now, years later, he teaches at Christian Theological Seminary right here in Indianapolis. He's teaching a couple of people that we actually know here in this congregation. In one of his books, he writes, "Hope challenges earthly powers and principalities, and she places earthly powers under the critique of heaven and earth, by which I mean the critique of the outraged God, the suffering people, and the ravaged earth. Her birthplace is not in the palaces of the privileged, nor the high-steepled, stained-glassed, windowed sanctuaries of power and customized religiosity. Rather, her birthplace is under the bush in the wilderness where Ishmael dies, under the broom tree where Elijah wishes for death, in the flames of yet another bush from which Yahweh speaks hope and life and liberation to Moses and his people with the words of inextinguishable fire. Hope's birthplace is on the cross on the hill where the cry, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, is her form and shape. That is where hope is born. Because when hope speaks, she speaks not with the arrogance of certitude, but with the eloquence of faith. She speaks with the voice of those whose voice is lost in the thunder of propaganda. Those who have no voice because they are simply too tired, too lost, too weak, or too powerless to speak. Too unimpressive to be worth listening to, not hopeful of being heard. They are too discouraged to speak. Say it with me. Hope speaks for those whom the powerful have deprived the right to speak. Say it again. Hope speaks for those whom the powerful have deprived the right to speak. You see, hope lives in places where hope is most needed. Hope does not belong to the powerful. Hope comes on the backs of those who are willing to fight for it, handle it with respect, and grow it into the revival that it is meant to be. Paul reminds us in his letter to that church in Rome, "We also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Hope is the holy seed that God plants deep inside of us when nothing else seems to live. Out of hope, something truly miraculous can be born. Humans can only go so far on their own. Amen? Amen? We are made to need each other, but more importantly, we are made to need God. We will hit our limitations long before God even gets started with us. But when we lean into the hope that God is calling us to grow, that is when we can finally start to see what we can accomplish with God. We are called simply to be faithful to the hope of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that is in all of us. Has anyone here ever heard of a Dr. Mordecai Ham, tent revivalist? And if you were in the first service, don't cheat. All right, not surprised. Dr. Mordecai Ham traveled all over the South, setting up his tent and preaching his revivals. He worked diligently his whole life to bring the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to the people around him. Mordecai had hope. He believed more than anything that God would use him to bring revival to America. He believed America needed Jesus more than anything else, and even if he only ever taught one person to love God, he knew that would be enough. So why does the hope of Mordecai Ham from the earliest 20th century matter to us in 2018? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's like I knew. Mordecai Ham set up his revival tent one night in Charlotte, North Carolina. It was a night not unlike many other revival sessions Dr. Ham had conducted. There was nothing particularly special or unique about it. But Dr. Ham was focused, and he was hopeful that if he brought the gospel, as was his life calling, then God would take it from there. Sure enough, God did. That night in 1934, a young boy named Billy was there. He heard the sermon and he sang the songs, and before he left that evening, Dr. Billy Graham accepted Christ as his Savior. Now, many of us will have different opinions about the ministry of the most well-known evangelist of modern times. But one thing we can all agree on is that he made an impact. Amen. But whether we are called to be a Billy Graham or we are called to be a Mordecai Ham, we are called. We are called to participate in creating the kingdom of God here and now. Without a Mordecai Ham, we cannot have a Billy Graham. Only you get to decide if you will answer that call. Only you get to decide if you will lean into the hope that seems impractical and irrational and impossible. Because I ask you now to see that when we answer the hope of people like Dr. Ham, Billy Graham, and Troy Perry, we can grow a hope that turns into a revival of our souls, our community, and our culture. Revival is the movement of the Holy Spirit in and all around us. It is the recognition of that movement. It is the compelling force that causes us to act in service to God, and nothing else can take its focus from you. For many, revival has touched us in a small way already. It showed us our potential, and it gave us enough focus to keep pushing forward. It took that hope, and it showed you where you could be. It gave that hope back to you, so you know what you are working for. Revival is the Holy Spirit's way of showing us the greatness of what God can do when he touches our lives. Like when Moses went up to the mountaintop to be with God and came back down radiating holiness. You see, revival is on its way, but it needs us. Revival needs us to have hope that God can change the world. It needs us to know that with us, God is changing the world. I look around our world and I see stress, worry, concern, fear, doubt, anger, and violence, none of which are from God. But on the back of a hope that is fostered, respected, and cared for, we can have a revival of the nations. God can use that hope to move mountains, part waters, and save us from ourselves. I was recently asked in one of my small groups how we end systemic racism. We were doing the diversity course again as a group, and we were engaging our responsibility to end racism. But that's a daunting task, right? We're simply an oasis group, mostly of white people. trying to have real conversation about our role in the world that was established long before any of us were even born. At first glance, there is no hope. We should probably just give up, right? What's the point? But there is a point. And the greatest of these is that there is never not hope. Let me say it again. There is never not hope. Hope lives in the hard places, remember? Hope is not for the privileged and the powerful. Hope is a gift, a seed to be grown in the hearts and minds of each of us. Because when we decide that we will be better, even in the middle of a system of moral decay, then we become the catalyst for something bigger. I came across this video recently of what hope can bring about.
Dear Mom and Dad,
to my dear family, dear parents,
before I left, I was terrified of being away from home for a full month.
At the beginning, I felt a bit insecure and nervous about not being able to make friends.
It has been scary that people are so much more different than I'm used to.
It was just so wild to actually, like, be here and actually meet them for the first time.
But after getting to know them and their thoughts, I see that we are more alike than I could never imagine.
Here we all get along.
The world has changed a lot, and by the time I'm your age, hopefully it's changed even more, but for the better.
You meet, like, people from a lot of different places, and you realize that you can become friends with anyone.
Even when we feel we are so different, we really are not.
It does not matter how we are outside. At the end, we are all humans, and respect is the key.
I really think that there's hope for the future. Learning things from other places, I think that is my new favorite hobby.
There is hope here. We may see defeat, but God sees potential. We didn't... lost a page there. Oh, sorry. Our God is destined to bring about revival. I mentioned Troy Perry earlier. He started our denomination, and he made it possible for us to be here in community today, almost 50 years later. But I ask you to consider that his seed of hope is only the beginning. Our hope is now in the potential of what could happen next. Our hope is in the possibility that God will use us to show the powerful and the privileged what it is to be touched by God. We are given life in Jesus Christ. But we are given more than that. We are given abundant life. That's not just a phrase or a verse we've heard 100 times. It is a movement. When we live life to its absolute fullest, with all the passion and hopefulness that comes with it, then we can change the world. We can show generations to come that being audacious in the name of Jesus Christ can bring people peace and redemption, sanctification, justification, and most importantly, salvation. You are saved. You are loved. Now, what would it look like if you started to act like it? I had a friend that was really enjoyed. She liked being single. She dated a lot. She lived alone. She loved her life. But one day, I met up with her for coffee, and she had an aura about her that said something had changed. She admitted to me that she had fallen in love. I saw her life change over the next few years. She became a person who walked with confidence. She started to act like a person who was not only in love with someone else, but she acted like a person who was loved by someone else. We don't need another human being to come into our lives for that kind of transformation. The love of Jesus Christ can do the exact same thing. Go back with me for a moment. Hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Hope can cause you to walk with confidence because you can know who you are and whose you are. When we truly feel God's love, we can't help but be hopeful. Being loved by Jesus can convince you to take that seed of hope and grow in your life to a place of peace and confidence that with it you can be part of the revival that is coming. The Holy Spirit is moving, my friends. It is on the loose. It is flowing in and around us all the time. God is moving in and around us all the time. I beseech you to open your hearts and your minds and your souls to the God that can take that small moment of hope inside of you and grow it into the life that can change the world. That might be the world of one child that you have the hope of bringing into your family someday. Or it might be the hope of one day starting a youth outreach program for underprivileged children. Or it might mean that you make more time to visit your ailing relative in the nursing home. Or that you start a church group visitation to the local rehabilitation center. Anything is possible. Everything is achievable. That's the miraculous thing about hope. When we lean into it, hope can change the world. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had hope. Gandhi had hope. Mel White had hope. Jeff Miner had hope. When he took over the pastorate of this church over 20 years ago, when we were a tiny group of about 36 meeting in borrowed space. And now we pass that hope on to you. You want to see the world be a better place? You want revival to spread across this land? You want the impossible and impractical to become a reality? Then get up. Wake up. Hope demands that we participate because it is ours to give the world what God has given us. Hope is alive. Set her free and see what God does next.